every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, in the Outdoor Living Hour, fourth Saturday of the month. So we are in the urban farm with Farmer Greg, who's joining us via remote connection, the modern marvel of current technology. And we have a wonderful segment prepared for y'all today. Last month, when we had Farmer Greg in, we were talking about food forest. Well, today we're talking about urban orcharding. And Greg, I just have to know, though, how did your orchard survive? I know last year the reindeer were a little selfish when they came through there and didn't leave you with much. Santa had to kind of get on them and let them know, hey, that's not reindeer food.
Well, there you go. They do love the citrus, though. That is for sure.
And all animals love the leaves, and you have no shortage at the urban farm there on your little, a very modest size property, but a very robust producer.
Yeah, well, you know, and that goes back to what we talked about last month, which is the food forest and nurturing the soil and all that kind of great stuff. But I have somewhere around 75 or 80 fruit trees here on the property. And the property is a quarter of an acre. That's 80 feet wide and 160 feet deep. So, you know, having 75 fruit trees on the property is a bit of a miracle.
And a miracle that didn't happen by accident. This was very intentional.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, a bulk of over half of the fruit trees are in my front yard. And so when I do tours here at the urban farm, I start in the front yard and I say to people, you know, there's 47 fruit trees in the front yard. And people look at me a little bit baffled. And it's about the design and the health of the soil that makes it able for me to be able to do that. And one of the big ways that I do it, and a bulk of those trees are in hedges around the south side of the property, the front of the property, and the north side of the property. So I have my front yard, the fruit trees ring the entire front yard except for the driveway. So along the street, I have 14 navel or navel-like oranges that it's basically street, berm, yard. And then right there, right parallel to the street is 14 navel-like oranges.
And I think it's important, that hedge is a critical part of it, because when most of us, I hear the word tree, you know, I picture this big, giant, you know, majestic tree.
Yep.
You've got them very organized and very maintained, so it's a hedge, and it's not a tree in a sense of a shade tree. This is a functioning, producing produce machine you've got here.
Now, that's a really good way of putting it, and that's really what urban orcharding is, because a standard size fruit tree can easily be 30 feet tall, and if I had a peach tree that was 30 feet tall and 25 feet wide in my front yard, you know, it takes a big footprint up, but that those peaches at the top of that tree are bird food. So what we do in urban orcharding is we manage the trees out so that they're 8 to 10 feet tall. So literally you can harvest them from the ground. And by keeping the trees small, and we do that through pruning. I get this question a lot. People come to me and say, I need dwarf trees. Well, unfortunately, and we're going to talk about this in one of our other segments today, dwarfing rootstock doesn't do all that well here in the desert. And that's typically what keeps trees as dwarfs, is they put it on a rootstock that dwarfs the tree. So what we do in urban orcharding is we manage the trees by pruning them out as small trees. And it's a process. It takes a lot of effort the first couple of years, but once you have that tree dwarfed, it's a whole lot easier to manage. And by keeping them dwarfed like that, and by having them as easy to manage, they're easier to prune, they're easier to harvest. You know, just generally, it's a happier tree to work with.
What does that do for the produce you do get? In my mind, if you've got a tree capable of producing, you know, if left alone and it grows to its own 30 foot, but you're keeping it much smaller, you would think the produce you get off of it are that much more sweeter because it's having to produce less than it's capable of.
Yes, that's part of it. And interestingly enough, my 10-foot tall peach tree in my front yard, I get 50 pounds of peaches off of it over the course of the, you know, the 3 weeks. And that is plenty of peaches for Heidi and me and, you know, enough to share with mom, you know, and like that. Really what makes the trees happier and the fruit tastier is how well you manage the soil underneath the tree. And we're going to get to that in segment two, in my segment I call Three Ways to Kill Your Fruit Trees. And so really managing the soil underneath the tree to make sure that it's nice and fluffy and lots of organic matter and like that, that has the fruit taste really well. And then managing the tree small by pruning makes it manageable so that you can harvest the fruit while standing on the ground. But it also does one other thing really, really nicely. Remember I said the, you know, the 30 foot tall tree by 25 foot canopy? That is one huge footprint for a fruit tree. That tree would literally fill up half of my front yard. With let's just talk peaches, for example. If you, in that same space, I can plant six different varieties of peaches on six different trees. And by keeping them small, it allows me to put varieties that ripen at different times. We call this successive ripening. So the desert gold peach ripens about May 15th. The tropic snow or the Soisé swirl peach, two really nice peaches, ripen about the first week of June. And then the mid-pride peach ripens in late June. So we're not getting, remember the big tree we talked about, you could easily get 300 or 400 pounds of peaches off of that one tree in a 2 week period. What are you gonna do with all those peaches?
That's a lot of processing.
It's a lot of processing, a lot of mess. So what we do in urban orcharding is we keep them small, that makes them easier to manage, and it gives us successive ripening because we plant different varieties so that rather than having 2 weeks worth of peaches, we get, you know, 3 months worth of peaches because they ripen over that 3 month period.
And that you call successive ripening.
We call that successive ripening, exactly. And now back to my front yard. What I do is I plant my trees in hedges as a hedgerow rather than individual standing trees. So when you plant them in hedges, the goal is that we get the trees to basically the side, you plant them in a row and they all kind of grow together. So the citrus trees that are, you know, on the front street side of my house, it just looks like a nice citrus hedge. And you really can't tell where one starts and, you know, where one ends.
So if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed.
Right, because somebody's stealing oranges.
Thank you, Led Zeppelin.
So that's a little bit about urban orcharding. We have a whole document on what Dave Wilson Nursery calls backyard orchard culture. And if somebody wants to shoot me an email at fruittrees@urbanfarm.org, I can send you that document.
I'm working on that right now. I think out of all the trees we've planted, I at least 80% have Dave Wilson rootstock on them.
Oh, yeah. Dave Wilson's, you know, they're one of the better growers. And unfortunately, Ellie Cook, which was the other grower since the 1930s, went out of business last year. So we have one major grower that grows most of the rootstock or most of the fruiting and rootstock for us for deciduous. And we have one major grower in the state for citrus, which is, you know, Stacy and Mark and Stacy down at Sunset Citrus Nursery down in Yuma.
That's a little scary to think that there's only two companies producing trees to grow, but you know, that's part of the reason we have this urban farm is because, you know, we feel that, you know, Farmers Greg vision of making our own communities, our own cities, sustainable food sources so that we don't have to rely on outside shipments is a critical part of the balance of a growing society, a growing population, and making sure that we are healthy and you know, not stuck in a situation where, you know, we're reliant on our food sources coming in from outside, because there are times breakdown and supplies happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've been saying that, well, probably on this show for 5 years, but I've been talking about that for 15 years about, you know, what happens if the grocery store shelves empty. And we actually saw that happen in March this year.
And we all survived then, and those of us with our own orchards and our own food produce and production that we have on our own property, it was, you know, we really didn't notice it until the beignet mix we order out of New Orleans from Cafe Du Monde took three weeks to get to the house, and that was like in June. So we really didn't notice anything until the beignet mix slowed down.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, and oddly enough, the toilet paper, go figure.
That's a different story. we'll leave that one for someone else to figure out. We're talking with Farmer Greg here at Rosie on the House, 8 o'clock hour, fourth Saturday of the month. It is our outdoor living hour, and the fourth Saturday of the month, we bring in Farmer Greg to talk about all things urban farming to help us, you know, just what we basically just said right there is make our own sustainable and regenerative urban farms on our own property, whether we live in a home, castle, or cabin. Farmer Greg mentioned, you know, he's on a quarter of an acre, so no matter what size property your home's on, we'll find a way to make you an urban farmer.